and he's going to give a talk on scanning electron microscopy and energy dispersive spectrometry studies of metal surfaces.
What I'd like to do is a chronological run from 1989 to now. I got involved in 1989, a week or so after Quantum Fleischmann's claims were made. And what I did was read the literature and did an experiment. The experiment was really surprising. I used a 25 micron thick chunk of palladium because that's all we had, whereas the Pons and Fleischmann were using millimeter. So anyway, the palladium foil buckled, and I'd never seen anything like that, so started using a microscope, which I have in my lab, and been doing it ever since. So in this work, I'd hired two high school apprentices. There were seven master's degree theses on cold fusion and two PhDs. So I've had a lot of help. And last year, I had a problem with this little gadget, and my finger was overlapping more than one button, causing chaos. So Mel Miles said, grow your fingernails and use your fingernails. That's what I'm doing.
Not working?
It's okay.
Let it go.
Okay, so that was one difference between what we did in Pons and Fleischmann. Another is the electrolyte. PNF used basic electrolyte, and everybody else seemed to follow that with variable results. We used sulfuric acid, and the conductivity was better than basic. So anyway, we used two cells in series, one a control and one experimental cell, and compare the results of heat measurements. Our calorimetry leaves something to be desired, but that's not my bag. Two cells in series, sulfuric acid, D2O, and we might, for example, change from D2O to H2O for the electrolyte. So we're using this better. We're using a platinum electrode, which could be used multiple times because there's no buckling or strange behavior. So this is a micrograph after electrolysis. The surface looks like there was melting occurred. And so for example, we could analyze, get the composition of the K cathode and or the anode. And what we found is that there was a locination connection. So the point that I have labeled S1, the composition is given there for S1, and you see silver was detected. Whereas right next door to it, the gray looking area, no silver, just point one is not detectable with this method. That one doesn't seem down to the end. Okay, so in the between these two spectra, we list the palladium L beta L alpha ratio at 0.55, whereas it expected to be 0.12. Or point 0.42, and that after deconvolution comes out to be almost 3% silver from a spot about one micron diameter. So this is after white light water electrolysis. Again, a black S1 and a bright S2, and we get palladium, silver, and cadmium, and from S1, see, something's fishy here. Yeah, the bright gives us the bright gives us a lot lower silver than the white. Silver zero from the bright spot. So now here's another area where it's on the dark side, but we can see 1, 2, 3, 4 places where we've got spectra. And if you analyze them, the whole area, if we scan the beam over the whole area, then we get no silver. But if we use a fixed beam and get the spectrum from 1, 2, 3, 4, they all have silver. In fact, 4, the silver L beta L alpha ratio now has this more than 1. So this number 4 is almost all silver. Okay. This work was done in my lab by Irina Savatomova, flow discharge. And this is the apparatus that she used. And what the way we did this experiment is attach the palladium sample to the cathode, and using about one torr, then after exposure for some hours or even days, what we find is change in radioactivity. So we're using a circular foil of uranium, and on the left is the original surface, which was under a fastener during the exposure. The bright area here the bright area has eroded. So this one was run about 550 hours. Okay. Radiation detection also is not my bag, but I got a lot of help with that. Well, let's see. Okay, this is this shows tiny volcanoes, donut shaped, and very nearly the same size, and a fraction of a millimeter. Okay, I think this one is out of order. Okay, this is a SEM image of titanium cathode, which has been heated and electrolyzed, and we got analyses from S1, S2, S3, and S4. So, these are the elements that we find after electrolysis, and anomalies are potassium, iron. Those two are the biggest anomalies. Again, from 1 micron diameter spots. White is titanium with a small peak for probably calcium. So the spot which is bright has titanium, silicon, and carbon, and gray brings in a lot of other elements. This is a spectra from the control, which is called roll titanium. The control has pure titanium. Spectrum S5 contains calcium and oxygen, and S6 this has a calcium peak. This is micrographs from electrolyzed titanium, and if you look at the left micrograph, it's a pit, but if you look at the right one from the same area, it looks like it's a mound. So anyway, the next door, we have analysis from the pit, which gives us chromium, iron, and nickel, and next door, just titanium. So at higher magnifications, we can see more details. So we hold the electron beam in the black center part of the pit and take an analysis there, and also from the rim of the pit. So the spectrum shows a huge peak for platinum, and that's because the platinum, although it's very stable, it still dissolves to a very small amount, and then on the cathode, it goes to the cathode and reacts with the place that one of those pits is found. So anyway, the point is that pits are not confined to palladium. They may be a general phenomenon. Okay, here's a PD cathode showing a lot more of those pits, and they have a bright side and a dark side, and they all have the same features. So, so we have possibly heat released when one of these forms. It's the concentration of these pits is very small, so to get anything useful out of it, you'd have to figure out a way to make more donuts. Okay, so we've been putting together a book of evidence for the transmutation, and so we've made extraordinary claims, but we have to keep going to get evidence for we have to get evidence for the proof that it's such, that there's no artifact. It's been a lot of fun for 25 years, and we will keep going as long as we can, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Questions?
I have one question. You mentioned uranium, decay being affected by implanting deuterium.
Okay, I didn't do a very good job on...
How much did it change? How much did the decay rate change of the uranium?
Yeah, it didn't seem to be on the disc. I thought it was. See, the control is on the left side, and the the changes in
2% looks like.
Pardon?
Looks like maybe 5%, something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
It got bigger or smaller? The decay rate.
The decay rate got more.
It got more.
Bigger.
You have any idea why?
I wouldn't venture any opinions just yet. My hope was that other people would try to see if they could reproduce it, but I haven't heard of anybody trying. You're not supposed to be able to change the half-life.
Is it published somewhere? Is it published?
Yeah, it was ICCF-10.
Okay.
Larry.
Yeah, I would offer, John, that there may be another factor happening here. When you expose this material to either electrolysis or, as you say, a hydrogen plasma, you're going to break the surface. Going to expose more, and I would argue that what you're doing is you're drawing off the daughters that give rise to the characteristic lines.
Okay, does that take an answer?
I'm sorry.
No, this work was done by Irina Savatomova in my lab, and it was short period of time, so for something like that it should work out for at least a year before you say anything. So anyway, we're the way it works is a student comes along, does some work and goes away, then you got to start all over. But anyway, it's fun.
We're going to have one more talk before lunch, which will be outside the door. Food is not going to be allowed inside here. I apologize for that. and we'll have coffee, drinks, and there's even some celebratory cake after the next lecture. But this lecture is also some dessert. You've heard now, and have heard for 25 years, excess heat, transmutation products. The skeptics say it can't exist. We don't understand it. And Peter has been working on a model for fractionation, both for fractionation down and up, and he's going to present his results right now.